I'm Miss Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Novak.
And I'm Dan Friedel. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Gregory Stockel has a story on the T-Rex. Scientists now say the dinosaur's teeth were covered by lips. Dan Novak has this week's education report about online schools for girls and women in Afghanistan. Online school is the only choice for women in Afghanistan, but the country's internet troubles are making it even harder for them to attend. Finally, we listen to the next part in our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first,
the Tyrannosaurus rex, or T-Rex, is a dinosaur that lived from the late Jurassic period, about 150 million years ago, to the end of the Cretaceous period, about 65 million years ago. Most artistic representations of the animal show its large, sharp teeth sticking out of its mouth, always visible. The T-Rex model of the Jurassic Park movie series is an example. But scientists now say the dino probably did not look like that. Tyrannosaurus rex belongs to a group of meat-eating dinosaurs called theropods. A study published Thursday in the journal Science found the teeth on T-Rex and other big theropods were likely covered by thick, scaly lips. Lips are the soft parts that surround the mouth. The scientists found that the dinosaur's teeth did not stick out when its mouth was closed. They added that even in a wide-open bite, only a small area of its teeth would show. The research is the latest in a long debate over how dinosaur mouths really looked. Recent images show big teeth extending out of the dinosaur's jaws, even when closed. Some people thought the dinosaur's teeth were just too big to fit in their mouth, said study writer Thomas Cullen. He is a paleontologist at Auburn University in Alabama. When researchers compared skulls from dinosaurs and living reptiles, though, they found this was not the case. Cullen said some large monitor lizards actually have bigger teeth than T-Rex compared to their head size, and can still fit them under a set of scaly lips. The scientists also found signs of wear on the surface of the teeth that suggested they were hidden from view. Reptiles without such lip protection, like crocodiles, experience wear on their teeth quickly. But when researchers studied a tooth from Daspletosaurus, a T-Rex relative, they found it was in good condition and it did not show similar signs of wear. Thomas Holtz is a dinosaur expert with the University of Maryland. He said, with this evidence and other information from the build of the dinosaur, the study makes a good case for lipped tyrannosaurs. The lips would be thin and scaly, he added. The scientist was not involved with the study. It is not the first time the representation of dinosaurs has been called into question. Most of what science learns about dinosaurs comes from their bones. It is harder to get clear answers about soft tissues like skin. Remains of soft tissues disappear more quickly. Adding lips to artistic representations may make dinosaurs look a little less terrifying, but it also makes them feel more realistic, Mark Witten said. He is a paleo artist at England's University of Portsmouth and another writer of the study. You don't really see a monster, he said. You see an animal. I'm Gregory Stockel.
There are a growing number of educational centers trying to reach Afghanistan's girls and women through online classes in their homes. Sophia is an Afghan student taking an online English course. But when the teacher calls on Sophia to read, her computer screen freezes. After a while, her computer comes back to life. As usual, a fellow student said. 22-year-old Sophia is one of a growing number of Afghan girls and women learning online to avoid the ruling Taliban's restrictions on girls' education. Taliban officials have closed girls' high schools and barred women and girls from universities. They also have prevented most women from working at non-governmental organizations. However, one of the biggest changes since the Taliban were first in power from 1996 to 2001 has been the growth of the internet. Almost no one had internet service when the Taliban were forced from power in the weeks following the September 11, 2001 attacks on the United States. The World Bank estimated that after nearly 20 years of the Western intervention, 18% of the population had internet service. The Taliban administration has permitted girls to study individually at home. It also has not moved to ban the internet, which its officials use to make announcements on social media. But girls and women face many barriers to learning. These include loss of electricity and very slow internet speeds. Computers and Wi-Fi, local wireless internet service, are also very costly in a country where 97% of people live in poverty. For girls in Afghanistan, we have a bad, awful internet problem, Sophia said. Her online school, Rumi Academy, had enrollments of mostly females rise from about 50 students to more than 500 after the Taliban took over in 2021. It has had hundreds of additional applications, but a representative of the school said it cannot enroll them because it does not have enough money for teachers, equipment, and internet. Sakina Nazari tried taking an online language class from her home in the west of Kabul for a week after she was forced to leave her university in December. But she stopped attending after many problems. "I couldn't continue," she said. "It's too hard to access internet in Afghanistan, and sometimes we have half an hour of power in 24 hours. The company Ookla, based in the American city of Seattle, Washington, measures internet speeds around the world. It said Afghanistan's mobile internet is the slowest of 137 countries. Some Afghans have started calling on SpaceX head Elon Musk to introduce his satellite internet service called Starlink in Afghanistan. Starlink is operating in Ukraine and Iran. Online schools are trying to help Afghanistan students. Daniel Kalmanson is a spokesperson for the online University of the People, based in Pasadena, California. The school has had more than 15,000 applications from Afghan girls and women since the Taliban took over. Kalmanson said students can attend classes at any time that conditions permit. He also said teachers give extensions to students for assignments and tests when they face connection problems. Learn Afghanistan is a nonprofit group that operates several community-based schools. Some teachers hold their classes online and make lesson plans free in Afghanistan's main languages. Executive Director Pashtana Durrani said the group also makes lessons available on radio, which is widely used in rural areas. She has been working with international companies to find ways to solve the problem of poor internet service. "Afghanistan needs to be a country where the internet is accessible. Digital devices need to be pumped in," Durrani said. I'm Dan Novak.
You just heard Dan Novak with the Education Report. Dan, what can you tell us about the state of women's education in Afghanistan?
It's a really unfortunate situation, I'm afraid. When the Taliban was in power from the mid-1990s to 2001, girls and women were not permitted to attend school. There was hope that when the Taliban retook control of the country in 2021, it would permit girls to continue their education. In fact, the Taliban promised it would permit it, but last year it broke that promise, banning girls from school past grade 6.
What is the Taliban's reasoning for the ban?
Well, the Taliban says they are following Islamic law and traditions that keep women in a servant role towards men. But for the Taliban, that means denying women their rights. In Muslim teachings, both men and women are pushed to study and learn.
But some girls are still able to learn online.
Right. While the Taliban has banned girls' education, they have not banned the internet. So online schools have opened up, both in Afghanistan and outside of the country. And as I mentioned in the story, enrollment is high among girls.
But the quality of the internet seems to be a serious problem.
Yes, for sure. Afghanistan is a very poor country, and an internet connection is not easy to find. Many people cannot pay for Wi-Fi. The country's internet connection is also rated as one of the slowest in the world. So, if girls are going to stay in school, there needs to be a way to get them a good internet connection.
Hopefully a solution can be found. Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The 1920s are remembered as a quiet period in American foreign policy. The nation was at peace. Americans elected three Republican presidents in a row: Warren Harding, Calvin Coolidge, and Herbert Hoover. These conservatives in the White House were generally more interested in economic growth at home than in relations with other countries. But the United States had become a world power. It was tied to other countries by trade, politics, and shared interests. And America had gained new economic strength. Bob Doty and Shirley Griffith discuss American foreign policy during the 1920s.
Before World War I, foreigners invested more money in the United States than Americans invested in other countries, about $3 billion more. The war changed this. By 1919, Americans had almost $3 billion more invested in other countries than foreign citizens had invested in the United States. American foreign investments continued to increase greatly during the 1920s. Increased foreign investment was not the only sign of growing American economic power. By the end of World War I, the United States produced more goods and services than any other nation, both in total and per person. Americans had more steel, food, cloth, and coal than even the richest foreign nations. By 1920, the United States' national income was greater than the combined incomes of Britain, France, Germany, Japan, Canada, and 17 smaller countries. Quite simply, the United States had become the world's greatest economic power.
America's economic strength influenced its policies toward Europe during the 1920s. In fact, one of the most important issues of this period was the economic aid the United States had provided European nations during World War I. Americans lent the Allied countries $7 billion during the war. Shortly after the war, they lent another $3 billion. The Allies borrowed most of the money for military equipment and food and other needs of their people. The Allied nations suffered far greater losses of property and population than the United States during the war. And when peace came, they called on the United States to cancel the loans America had made. France, Britain, and the other Allied nations said the United States should not expect them to repay the loans.
The United States refused to cancel the debts. President Coolidge spoke for most Americans when he said simply, "They borrowed the money." He believed the European powers should pay back the war loans, even though their economies had suffered terribly during the fighting. However, the European nations had little money to pay their loans. France tried to get the money by demanding payments from Germany for having started the war. When Germany was unable to pay, France and Belgium occupied Germany's Ruhr Valley. As a result, German miners in the area reduced coal production. And France and Germany moved toward an economic crisis and possible new armed conflict.
An international group intervened and negotiated a settlement to the crisis. The group provided a system to save Germany's currency and protect international debts. American bankers agreed to lend money to Germany to pay its war debts to the Allies. And the Allies used the money to pay their debts to the United States.
Some Americans with international interests criticized President Coolidge and other conservative leaders for not reducing or canceling Europe's debts. They said the debts and the new payment plan put foolish pressure on the weak European economies. They said this made the German currency especially weak, and they warned that a weak economy would lead to serious social problems in Germany and other countries. However, most Americans did not understand the serious effect that international economic policies could have on the future of world peace. They believed that it was wrong for the Europeans, or anyone, to borrow money and then refuse to pay it back.
Many Americans of the 1920s also failed to recognize that a strong national military force would become increasingly important in the coming years. President Coolidge requested very limited military spending from the Congress. And many conservative military leaders refused to spend much money on such new kinds of equipment as submarines and airplanes. Some Americans did understand that the United States was now a world power and needed a strong and modern fighting force. One general, Billy Mitchell, publicly criticized the military leadership for not building new weapons. But most Americans were not interested. Many Americans continued to oppose arms spending until the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor in Hawaii in 1941.
American policy toward the League of Nations did not change much in the 1920s. In 1919, the Senate denied President Wilson's plea for the United States to join the new League of Nations. The United States, however, became involved unofficially in a number of League activities. but it continued to refuse to become a full member. And in 1930, the Senate rejected a proposal for the United States to join the World Court. The United States also continued in the 1920s to refuse to recognize the communist government in Moscow. However, trade between the Soviet Union and the United States increased greatly during this period. And such large American companies as General Electric, DuPont, and RCA provided technical assistance to the new Soviet government.
The Coolidge administration was involved actively in events in Latin America. Secretary of State Charles Evans Hughes helped several Latin American countries to settle border disputes peacefully. In Central America, President Coolidge ordered American Marines into Nicaragua when President Adolfo Diaz faced a revolt from opposition groups. The United States gave its support to more conservative groups in Nicaragua, and it helped arrange a national election in 1928. American troops stayed in Nicaragua until 1933. However, American troops withdrew from the Dominican Republic during this period, and Secretary of State Hughes worked to give new life to the Pan-American Union.
Relations with Mexico became worse during the 1920s. In 1925, Mexican President Plutarco Elias Calles called for laws to give Mexico more control over its minerals and natural wealth. American oil companies resisted the proposed changes. They accused Calles of communism. And some American business and church leaders called for armed American intervention. However, the American Senate voted to try to settle the conflict peacefully. And American diplomat Dwight Morrow helped negotiate a successful new agreement.
These American actions in Nicaragua and Mexico showed that the United States still felt that it had special security interests south of its border. But its peaceful settlement of the Mexican crisis and support of elections in Nicaragua showed that it was willing to deal with disputes peacefully. America's policies in Latin America during the 1920s were in some ways similar to its policies elsewhere. It was a time of change, of movement, from one period to another. Many Americans were hoping to follow the traditional foreign policies of the past. They sought to remain separate from world conflict.
The United States, however, could no longer remain apart from world events. This would become clear in the coming years. Europe would face fascism and war. The Soviet Union would grow more powerful. And Latin America would become more independent. The United States was a world power, but it was still learning in the 1920s about the leadership and responsibility that is part of such power.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Dan Novak.
And I'm Dan Friedel.